Again, welcome. And so today we're going to finish our series based on Yanni Levan Zandt's book, Trust. We've already gone through trusting ourselves and why on earth we want to do that. Trusting God, trusting others, and today we're going to finish it off about trusting life. And I'd like to read to you a quote from Yanla. It states, "Each person represents a microcosm of the world in which we live, where anger and fear, confusion, isolation, lack of faith, and a wanton disregard for the divine process of life causes people to act against their true nature. Since our true nature is to be trusting, every small violation of individual trust creates a ripple effect that immediately impacts the entire world in which we live. That's how important we are as individuals, and that's how powerful trust is in our lives. And that's why we've been going through this process, because more and more there's a lack of trust. We talk about there's a lack of faith. There's a lack of trust in the process. And it's time for us to claim it and get it back. And ultimately, everything concludes into we have to trust life. For without trust, there can be no peace of mind. And that's what we're all looking for, isn't it? Peace of mind. But if we can't trust in ourselves, if we can't trust God, if we can't trust in the world, we'll forever be in this road of confusion, of pain, of fear. And so I want to start us off with a story about how a chick is hatched from the egg. Actually, it's not a scientific process. It's a fairly quick story. But imagine you're a kid, and you're looking at Sesame Street or something. You have an egg, and its incubator is in its nest. And I think we've all seen pictures of an egg with its yolky, and it's kind of forming. And that egg is a hard shell, a hard protective shell that this chick can grow and be protected in. And as the chick develops, it starts forming. It goes from a glutinous sort of thing and this thing into a formation. And from that formation, it starts growing. And all of a sudden, this beautiful protective shell then becomes this very cramped space very quickly in a chick's life. It becomes so cramped that inevitably, for its own survival, as it is in cramped space and living in its own waste, it has to get out. I, my friends, bring this story to you because humans, as a species, also live. We live in our own little shell of protection that we can consider our hard egg. Sometimes we call them our walls around us. That at the first creation, we're wonderful because they protected us. It was a process of which we could grow. And after a while, that process becomes old. That process moves forward. And at some point in time, we get crushed within our own shell that was there originally to protect us. But now it's becoming the death of us. Unlike a chick that has a sense of courage about it, us humans, so much of the time, still stay stuck. Stay stuck in that protective shell, stay stuck in that process, stay stuck in our muck and mire. And it begs to ask the question, who has more faith in the process of life? A chick who will eventually plug itself out of the shell? Is it that the chick has more faith in the process than us humans who just want to control it, who become adapted to the muck and mire, who become so adapted to it, we want to stay in it. We want to control it. We don't want to release and let go of it. We don't want to break out of our shell. and to form something wonderful, brand new, something that will bring us life. Why? Because ultimately, we say we trust the process, but we really don't, because if we do, we would allow the things that need to be released to be released freely, effortlessly, knowing that moment by moment, minute by minute, life has something wonderful for us, joyous for us. But no, most of us humans like it comfortable, like it where it's known, no matter how hurt we are. Now, I believe that we kind of get bamboozled into it because most of these processes grow on us and turn on us in a very slow manner. We're so used to kind of moving with the flow or the shifts and changes until all of a sudden we realize that this isn't working for us anymore. But instead of being in the cramped egg, and can you picture the egg as the chicken comes out of it? I mean, it is cramped. I mean, it's plucking for survival. And even though we don't do that, we are constantly wanting to pluck, but why don't we do it? This is about trusting the process, releasing and letting go, knowing that no matter how much muck and mire is in your egg, it is better outside of it than inside of it. So how do we go through the process? How do we release ourselves from the tensions, from the darkness, from the sadness, from the fears that we hang on to and say that, I got this. I don't have to pray to God. I don't have to do anything. I got this. I put myself into this. I'm going to get myself out of it. How do we get out of that cycle and trust life? The first realization that Yanla talks about is a kind of a Buddhist concept, actually, from my state of being. It's something that when my teacher first told me about it as a Buddhist person, as a unity person, I really couldn't vibe with it. I actually argued with my teacher quite a bit about it. And it is that no matter who you are and what you do, there will always be an ending. No matter what you do, who you are, how hard you try, there's always an ending. Our life is situated by it. Now, in the Buddhist tradition, we're constantly going through the sense of we want to release and let go of suffering so that there is no life or death. But right now in the world, there's life, there's death. There's construction, there is deconstruction. There are processes that are reborn and processes that die. That is what we do. And instead of allowing an ending to end, we continue to pump it for life when it just needs to go. And that's in many processes. That's in relationships, that's in things that we create, that might be art pieces, that might be music, that might be our work. Cycles are cycles. But this reality of knowing that there's an ending actually frees you. Because it is our fear of death that continues to keep us in fear base. But once you come under the realization that everything must end, at some point in time, I used to argue, you know what, if I'm in a great, sweet relationship, I don't want that to end. And he would say, you know what, Crystal, some way, somehow that's going to end. I'm like, you know, you're kind of doubting, you know, I'm unity. I trust that, you know, we both put some goodness in it. It's going to be great. And then he would go, well, Crystal, at some point in time, even though we don't like it, the person will probably die. Or you might die. At some point in time, some way it's going to end. I fought against that for a long time. But you know, the reality is, it's the truth. And once you come to the realization that it's going to end, how it frees you is that you're more apt to live. You're no longer being cautious. You're in it to win it all the way. You're there in a relationship when you're there knowing that it's going to end. If you need to have a serious conversation, it's going to be nice, it's going to be sweet, but you're going to have that conversation. You're going to live because you realize that being in fear and being locked down and being cramped in your little eggshell isn't what you or your partner or your work relationships, you and your life don't need. Realize that knowing that things will end will grant you the freedom that you've always wanted. Second thing is to realize that you're not in control. Now, I know, especially here in the West, we're taught to be in control. If we're going to succeed in our job, if we're going to do anything, you better know what you're doing, and you better do it well, and you better be in control over it. And the reality is, the only thing that we're in control over, and we weren't even in control of that because most of us were given it, were our names. Even my Buddhist names, they were given to me. We are in control of certain things, but we're not in control of life. The reality is that we are not the creator of all, big C, i.e. God, Spirit, whatever you want to call it. But we are divine ingredients. We are divine characters in a play. We're divine ingredients in the best meal that could ever be made. Individually, if we play our parts, playing our parts being open to God, being open to God's guidance, and allowing God to move in and through us as the creator so he can create, create a beautiful life within us, we are free just to soar and to receive. Not just to take for take purposes and greedily give it to ourselves, but we are there to receive a great life, shared life, all of us. But it takes the knowing and the trusting in God. It takes the knowing and trusting in ourselves that we are one with God. Actually, Jan Levan Zandt states, we know, when we know, believe, and understand that we are individual expressions of God, trusting ourselves and trusting God are the same. There is no separation. If we allow ourselves to be open vessels of God's greatness first, and knowing that there's no separation, allowing ourselves to be fed the guidance through our intuition to do this, to do that, and not to try to take control over it, then we will move out of the darkness into the inevitable light. I've had to learn this. It takes practice. And it isn't just a one-day thing, a major thing, to trust God, to open yourselves, to be the conduit. It's an every-moment thing. And it isn't just the big things when we're in emergency. Oh, God, I did it again. Can you help me? Can you help me? Can you help me, please? It's in the things like, oh, okay, what am I going to wear today? I'm driving down the road, and I use this example a lot because this is my teaching tool. When I was in the corporate world and I was in Detroit and going at 9 o'clock to the suburbs, you know, I was always running late, by the way. I was always just going to make it right on time. And inevitably, as I'm just about to make it right on time, I would hear Spirit say, get off on this exit. And I would argue with it. Why am I going to get off there? I'm going to be really late if I don't. And the times I didn't listen, talk about really being late, because there was usually like an accident or a car that was down, and people slowing down. Just even that minuscule thing, get off here. It's a matter of listening to Spirit at all things, small, great. It's all the same to God. But the more we listen to God, the more we trust in life's process, the more we trust in God, the more we trust ourselves, the more we can relax, let go. And it'll be all right that we're not in control, because we realize that there is a higher source that knows all, the big C creator that has created everything, that we can ebb and flow and appreciate and receive the greatness. So as you move forward, I say, understand. Well, let me give you Yanla's final word. The bottom line intention of trust is this. You must commit to building your trust as a muscle. Trust is an inner process. Developing deeper trust can happen only if you continue to practice it. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need. And then thank God for all that God has done. Then you will experience a peace beyond any understanding, which exceeds anything we can take and anything that we can think. Peace will guard your hearts, your minds, as you live. So continue to move forward. Open yourselves up and trust the process. The only process that will lead you astray is your own ego process. Trust that God always has you. The universe always wants your divine greatness. Open up to it, crack out of your shell, and move forward. And so we thank you, God, in prayer, that your love, your light, your understanding continues to move in through and as us. We say yes. Please use us, move us out of our restricted lives, and move us into your glory, into your victories, into everything that you want our lives to be individually and together, bringing light, bringing love, bringing joy and happiness to us all on this planet. We trust in you. We trust in your plan and your process. Thank you, God. Amen. And to take with you in your bulletins is this affirmation. Let us say it a couple times together. I trust in God. Nothing can disturb the calm peace of my soul. Let's just breathe that in a little bit. Yeah, let's say it one more time. I trust in God. Nothing can disturb the calm peace of my soul. And when you read that, you might also say, nothing, no thing can disturb the calm peace of my soul. God bless you.